Thank you, Lord, for this group of men. And Lord, thank you for the redemptive work that you've done in all of us and how you're doing that even this morning. Even if there's those who do not yet believe that are here this morning, the fact that you're calling them to repentance and faith and that you've blessed them beyond what they can even imagine because they're here surrounded by your people and they're here submitting themselves to the hearing of your word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would bless whoever that might be deeply, that you would give them faith to believe in you. And, Lord, for all of us, that we might have a deep, abiding faith, a faith that is rooted in the hope that is in Jesus Christ and in none other, not in this world, not in government, or not in things or money or status or fame, but that our hope would be built on, as the song says, nothing less than Jesus and nothing more than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand your word today for Christ's sake. Amen. So, Proverbs 3 mentions several different things, obviously being addressed to, in this setting here, where he says, my son, in verse 1. And I think it's noteworthy that a lot of things that are going to be talked about in the first part of this passage are things that we, as men, we need to hear, because God has made us naturally as ones that want to, by and large, fix things. We also have strong wills, most of us. Now, these are general. I'm just making some general observations. Obviously, there's difference in personalities, but I don't know about you, but I can be extremely hard-headed. I can trust in my own ability. I can trust in my own reasoning, my own wisdom, and I can be quite selfish. All of those things, you know, they come with the struggles with the fact that we are created male, but we are created in God's image, and God is doing his redemptive work in us as men. And we should be very thankful that God has created us the way that he has created us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we should not be ashamed of the fact that God has created us the way he has created us. He's given us a high calling as men to serve, to look for ways in which we can be of service, look for ways that we can channel all of the strength and all the drive and all the will and all of the energy that we have. We should be looking for ways that we can take all of that and use it for God's glory. And it requires us to constantly be brought back to God's word to know how it is that we can live our lives in such a way that, as men, in such a way that brings honor and glory to the God that created us. And so this proverb begins with, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. So if you were taking notes, I would say, as men, the exhortation here is that we should be men of the Word of God, and specifically men of the law of God and all of the counsel of God. Something else that you'll see back and forth in these passages, and again, probably you're going to say, this isn't very profound. We've heard this all before. But there's great reward in following God. And it's not an ungodly thing to say, you know what? There is great reward in knowing the Lord and walking in his ways. That's the whole teaching of Matthew 13, probably one of your favorite parables. I know it's one of mine. The parable of the hidden treasure is that, you know, for joy over what the man was going to receive in the field, he went and sold all of his possessions. Why? Because there was a greater reward waiting for him. And in these passages here, you see that there's instruction and then there's encouragement with that, because if you obey, there is blessing. And that blessing doesn't always mean temporal giddiness, but you'll just see what it says here. So we should be, the encouragement here of this passage is to be a man of the commandments of our God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. In our day and age, we need that. Do not forget my teaching. And it is so easy with Google or Siri, or it is so easy for us to, in our ADHD culture, and I'm not saying that in a negative light, the whole ADHD thing, but the reality is to make fun. But the reality is, you and I live in a culture where distraction, forgetfulness, and so forth is commonplace. I mean, we see, you know, teenagers that and young people that even struggle with, well, wait a minute, what was I doing? Wait, oh yeah, I was gonna wait. What? And you know, you're constantly forgetting. I do this all the time, and it's not just because I'm getting older, but we're distracted, and we start one thing, we start another thing, and it's easy for us to forget. And so we're admonished here to not forget the teaching, and to let our heart keep the commandments of God. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. There is great reward later on in life. This is a promise that God made very early in the Old Testament, that the Lord will bless your years to come if you lay a sure foundation built on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mexico, a lot of times, and in Texas, we like to sing this song. I can't remember if it's in English, but it's "Levanta tu casa sobre la roca y durará." Is build your house upon the rock, and it will last. And that's what this commandment, that's what this counsel right here is doing. I shouldn't have put this in this pocket because I keep getting tangled up there. But that's what the counsel of this proverb is. Build your house upon the rock of Christ Jesus, and it will never fail. The winds, the rain, the hurricane, all of those things will come and go. But if your life, my life, is built on Christ Jesus, there is a firm foundation that, and we have an inheritance kept for us that will never perish, spoil, or fade. Number two is found in verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Oftentimes, we live in a society now of people-pleasing, where we're motivated more so by the fear of man. We need to own that and talk about it with each other, that oftentimes our motivation is more so out of fear, and fear is the worst motivator of any kind. And this is really all of Proverbs 3, and really all of God's Word is a recipe for happiness. It's all saying, if you want to be happy, you got to be happy in Jesus. Because other pleasures, they go here and there. They don't last. And the counsel here is that we should be men that are faithful and loving, and that we would bind them around our neck, that it would be something that, in a sense, we want to show off. Okay, that this is not a pridefulness that's like, hey, look at me. This is an adornment, if you will. I don't know if you wear a gold chain or not, but sometimes people that wear gold chains want you to see them, want you to recognize that or whatever. And the counsel here is you want to put something on that other people will recognize. Let that be steadfast love and faithfulness. And put that on your heart. And when you go out, let other people see that you have an unending love for the Lord that's manifested in love for one another, and you are faithful in that. It doesn't say let steadfast love and faithfulness and perfection That's not what's being talked about here. Sure, we're going to fail in that. Sure, we're not going to, you know, there are times where I'm quite frankly ugly to the person that I'm ordering food from. There's times I am, many times, if you ask my wife and she doesn't lie to you, she'll tell you that I'm ugly to her at times. It's just, I'm not proud of that. I'm just telling you that's the truth. But the encouragement here is that we would let these good qualities of love and faithfulness be something that we're known for. And we need to be reminded of this, because as men with strength and with drive, and we want, you know, sometimes our desire for what is right, we'll mow anybody over to make sure that they understand that our position or our opinion is right. And we should, the counsel here is to let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. And you know what? Keith Green wrote a really good song about the he'll take care of the rest. And that's why I was thinking of there. If you and I would just focus on being faithful to the Lord and that being manifested by loving one another, you know, the whole love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the Lord will take care of all things. You don't need to fear, well, does this person, were they put off by what I said? Or you don't have to worry about whether or not you're pleasing somebody else in that sense. If what you're doing is you're focused on steadfast love and faithfulness to the Lord, you will earn favor and good success in the sight of God and man. I'm not saying that this is a prosperity gospel that, oh, you'll live a trouble-free life and you'll never be surrounded by controversy. And that's not what this passage is saying either. But in verse 5, we see that we are to be men of real faith. And that is verse 5, trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And what does it mean? How can we be, as the song says, happy in Jesus? By trusting and obeying. And this counsel given to a son, why does that strike me so necessary? Because the young men and all of us need to hear that our opinion is not always right. We need to be reminded that we're not always right. And our hope and our faith cannot be in the strength of our hands. It cannot be in our labor and our work, or our own understanding about something. Always leave the opportunity in your mind that you might be wrong. And bring everything back to the Scripture. And trust in the Lord with all your heart and not on your own understanding. And when you and I, by God's grace, do that, the Lord will take care of all things. It's a constant theme. We trust in the Lord, and He will take care of His people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. He will make straight your paths. And verse 7 talks about just being a man with godly wisdom. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. That's kind of where I started out with talking to you about Tim Keller's devotional on wisdom literature, is that as you and I hear faithful teaching, we should be those sort of men that are constantly seeking out God's wisdom, not our own. And when you and I are confronted with God's Word, it brings healing to our bodies, to our minds. Oftentimes, anxiety and so forth, Now, I'm not talking about physical matter here, but how much worry and how much depression and fear and so forth is kind of fueled sometimes by just not turning away from evil. You know, we know what's right and then we either fail to do it, or we know what's right and we do the opposite of it.
Just you reminded me, I heard an article yesterday where a secular psychologist has actually, it was in the Washington Post, encouraged secular parents to lie to their children and tell them that there is a God. Because our long-term study has shown that those children who believe there is a God and who have had religious instruction are better adjusted mentally, they have less anxiety, all these things. So, you know, her thing is, lying to your kids.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, well, maybe there's something to this reality. Teach them some Bible.
Wow.
Help them.
No, you're right. Yeah. But so many of us men... I will convince myself I am right about this and will make a big deal about it only later to find out that I made a complete and total fool out of myself because I did not walk in the wisdom of the Lord. And we're called to do that, and that's the encouragement for us to do that, to be not wise in our own eyes, but to walk in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there is great benefit to even our bodies. A weight is lifted, a burden is lifted if we are more focused about knowing God's will and walking in His ways than in just our own opinion or our own earthly wisdom. And it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to the just even the sweetness of finding out that you were wrong about something and then and experiencing restoration and the hope and the joy that comes over you? I hope as parents that we're doing that and we're modeling that with our kids as well. It's one of those lost things in our culture. Verse 9 talks about, Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. Verse 9 talks about that as men, there's an encouragement here to be men of stewardship. And to honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. That we are encouraged here to give the Lord the very, very best from the top. And there is great blessing. I've never encountered anybody in this world, never, that has said, you know what, I focused on giving my very best to the Lord, and I have focused on giving Him out of my wealth that He has given me, and I've just focused on being a giving person, and God has never supplied my need. I've never met any. Have you ever heard a testimony like that? Have you and I ever gone to church somewhere, old country church growing up, and said, heard a testimony saying, you know what, I gave an offering that I believe the Lord wanted me to give. Now we can't eat. God hasn't supplied. I've never heard anything like that. Never. But the encouragement here is for us as men and the son here to honor God with our possessions, the money that we gain, all that we have, because it all belongs to Him anyway. And God will take care of us. There's no need to be worried or nervous because He is going to take care of us. In fact, there is great blessing. And the expression here of the there will be vats bursting with wine. So you're talking about, you know, honor the Lord with what He has given you, and He is going to give you the best of blessings. You say, "Wow, man, you sound like Joel Osteen." That's the danger with Joel Osteen, is he's like almost right in so many ways. Was it Spurgeon that said discernment is not really the difference between right and wrong, but right and almost right?
Yeah.
Was it him? Yeah. And that's the thing. You and I, we're counseled to be excited about giving. And our joy is increased whenever we give. And yes, you know, an encouragement, if you're feeling depressed, if you're feeling upset or something like that, pray to the Lord. And oftentimes my experience is, if we just look at maybe how we can give or how we can grow in love towards somebody else around us, the Lord uses that as a means of grace to encourage us and strengthen us in the faith. I hope there are other people here that could say amen to that, that you've experienced that. We won't have to worry. Honor the Lord with our wealth and the first fruits of the produce. And verse 11 mentions that we should be men of endurance, is how I'll just kind of summarize that. Endurance, not despising the Lord's discipline. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. And again, think about the context here. As men, you and I do not like to be corrected. I don't know anybody here that just walks around saying, you know, what I really want you to do is just follow me around and tell me all day everything I do that's wrong. You know, we don't naturally think of a good day as a good day being somebody whenever, you know, a day whenever somebody corrects us. The scripture tells us that all discipline seems unpleasant at the time. Later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And when you and I are disciplined by the Lord, it's something that we should look at as something very loving, very encouraging. When the Lord brings to light something like reading that proverb devotional, that wisdom litter devotional, or we read the Word of God and we think, man, that really hurts. That, man, I really am a failure in this area. For us as believers, we don't despise that. Be glad that God is speaking to you. Be glad that God loves you. Be glad that God is showing you where you've erred, because it is a demonstration of God's unending, unfailing love toward His people. And you and I have the opportunity to model that, obviously, with our children and with each other and that sort of thing, that we correct one another and that we are patient with one another, we're kind with one another. The Lord's kindness is what leads us to repentance. We read in Romans. And so, men, endure and count it joy whenever God disciplines you, when God disciplines me, and just know that it is a sweet, loving, fatherly hand that's not abusive, that is not neglectful. The Lord does not neglect His children. The Lord does not abuse His children. The Lord is a loving Father who is faithful to the very end. And many of us, well, none of us are faithful followers like our fathers like the Lord is. He is the ultimate Father. He is the ultimate man. He is the ultimate example for us in what it means to be a man and what it means to be a father. And let's not despise the Lord's discipline, for the Lord reproves him whom He loves as the Father, the Son in whom He delights. All of that to say, may we be those sort of men that trust in the Lord, not in our own understanding, that we be not wise in our own eyes, but acknowledge the Lord. He will direct our paths. Honor Him with everything. There is great reward and benefit in following the Lord. And we have no need to fear. We have no need to be preoccupied because the Lord will provide for His children. He looks after us. He disciplines the people that He loves to bring them to greater and greater dependence upon Him. And so gentlemen, let's not give up. Let's hope in the Lord, trust in the Lord, acknowledge the Lord, bind His commandments on our heart, and lean not on our own understanding, and know that the Lord is with us to the very end. And that's my prayer for me. That's my prayer for you. And Lord, would you increase our joy as we acknowledge our greater and greater dependence upon you, and our greater and greater need to walk in your ways and trust in your ways and not our own understanding. And Lord, so many times we are motivated by fear, the fear of man, worried about other people's opinions. But Lord, may we seek first you in your ways and leave everything else behind, trusting and knowing that you will make our paths straight. And Lord, thank you so much for these brothers who have gathered together. I pray that today they might just sense your nearness. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that is far off from you, that is still alienated from you, Lord, that you would bring them to faith, that every man that's in this room right now would be counted as part of the number of the redeemed. And Lord, I pray that we would encourage one another all the day as we see evil all around us, that our hope and trust would continue to grow in you, and that we would encourage each other all the more as we see the day coming that you will return, or you will call us home. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this meal. Thank you, Lord, so much for all of your blessings that you've poured out with rich, abundant food, fellowship here, brothers that love one another. Give us harmony, give us wisdom and unity that we might serve you by serving one another with gladness and joy. For Christ's sake, amen.